You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. On this Tuesday, commentator Dr. Gary Joyner takes a look back at the Persian Empire's defeat at the Battle of Marathon and explains why its history matters.
Today, the Western world is locked in a war of ideals with those of Near Eastern beliefs. We may believe this is a new war, but it is not. The first such conflict occurred in 490 BC, when the city-states of Greece were attacked by the greatest power on earth, Persia, today's Iran. The Persian king was Darius I, ruler of most of the known world. To him, Greece was an irritant on the periphery of his holdings, and he desired to bring those free-thinking people under his control. Herodotus, the father of history and a contemporary of the war, is the primary source for what we know of it. With an armada of 600 vessels and 20,000 infantry and cavalry, Darius planned to land at the plain of Marathon, 26 miles east of Athens. The Athenians could muster only about a quarter of the number of Persian troops to defend their city from the aggressors. These Greeks had watched the progress of the enemy fleet moving down their coastline, and they anticipated where the Persians would land. The Athenian commander, a general named Miltiades, sent a professional runner named Pheidippides to Sparta to ask for help. Pheidippides ran the 140 miles in 36 hours. Due to a religious festival, Sparta could not offer help until the next full moon, but they promised to help the Athenians when they could. Pheidippides ran the route again to deliver the news, telling Miltiades that the Athenians must stop the Persians alone. Miltiades then decided to surprise the Persians as they unloaded their vessels, while most of their cavalry were still aboard their ships. The Athenian infantry stripped down to their essential loincloths and carried nothing but shields, spears, and swords. Miltiades and several thousand warriors charged headlong into the unsuspecting Persians as they disembarked, catching them off guard. The Persians were insulted that the Greeks did not fight fairly. In other words, that they did not allow the Persians to get all their men ashore before fighting began. The center of the Greek line was pushed back, but both flanks turned the enemy into the surf. Persian cavalry never made it to the shore. The Persian infantry fled back to their boats, and Darius's invasion was halted. Herodotus reported that 6,400 Persians were killed and that only 192 Athenians fell. But what happened to Pheidippides? He had run 280 miles and then participated in a battle where he was slightly wounded. However, Miltiades sent him back to Athens to tell them of the events of the battle. Pheidippides ran the 26 miles once more. At the gates of the city, he proclaimed the good news, shouting the single word victory before he collapsed and died of exhaustion and his wound. The Persians tried to conquer the Greeks again 10 years later, but they were defeated by a coalition of Greek city-states led by Sparta and Athens. This second Persian war saw the more famous stand of the Spartans under their king Leonidas at Thermopylae Pass, in what can be called a Greek version of the Alamo. The Persians invaded the Greek mainland, but were defeated by a broad coalition of Greek city-states on land and at sea, ending Persian incursions into Greece. The battles of Marathon and Thermopylae proved that genuinely free men fighting for their homes and hearths were superior to a vastly greater army of slaves and draftees fighting for the whims and wishes of a king. Much more than simply interesting ancient battle tales, Marathon and Thermopylae are direct evidence that Western culture came ever so close to being snuffed out before it had a chance to thrive. Without those determined Greeks holding the lines and buying time, the world as we know it would not exist. Their blood and bravery are a clear indication that history matters.
History Matters is made possible in part by the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities and Louisiana Cultural Vistas Magazine.